Welcome to the Open Forum in the Villages Florida podcast. In this show, we talk to leaders in the community, leaders of clubs and interesting folks who live here in the Villages, to give perspectives of what is happening here in the Villages. We hope to add a new episode most Fridays at 9 a.m. We are a listener-supported podcast. You can become a supporter for as little as $3 per month, or you can choose to pay more. To become a supporter, go to openforuminthevillages.com and click on Support in the black box. There will be shout-outs for supporters in episodes. In Season 4, we have made some dramatic improvements and changes. First is a clarification of the podcast's title. It is Open Forum in the Villages, Florida, to make clear that this is a regional show, independently produced for folks who live in Central Florida and the Villages areas. Second is a dramatic increase in the use of AI in the creation of each episode. In fact, the show's announcers are now all AI voices, including me, Emily. Hope you enjoy.
This is Mike Roth. I'm here today with Margaret Barton, has been a part of our improvisational theater club, I think almost since the beginning. Thanks for joining us today, Margaret.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Margaret, why don't you tell our listeners a little bit about your experience, about how long you've been here in the Villages and the kind of clubs that you belong to?
Okay, I've been here, bought my house in early 2014, and I moved here right around Thanksgiving of that year, so about 9 years. And I moved here from the Detroit, Michigan area. I love it here. I've been in several clubs, including your improv group, which is wonderful. Mm-hmm. And I also am in a lot of exercise groups. I bike, I go to the gym, I have a trainer at the gym. I have most of my other endeavors relate to what I could do to exercise.
Good. So did you buy one of those electric bikes, or are you using a regular, like, 10-speed bike?
Well, I have a mountain bike, a regular bike, but I mostly bike, at least this time of the year, in my house. I have a Life Cycle, which has a recumbent seat on it, and that's what I ride.
Oh, okay. Certainly better than being out in the 100-degree weather trying to bike.
It's not only better, it's safer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Are you a member of any biking clubs?
Not here. I was in Michigan. I did 20 years of the Michigander, which is a 300-350-mile bike ride every summer all over the state of Michigan, sometimes in the West Coast, East Coast, northern part, all over. So once I moved here, I have not joined one of those type of bike clubs yet, but I like to. And I have done several bike trips in Europe, mm-hmm. and one in California.
Mm-hmm. And you said you were a member of a health club here in the Villages. Which one?
I go to Genesis, formerly MVP. I've been going there since I moved here. Mm-hmm. They have classes, they have equipment, they have trainers. Mm-hmm. It's close and it's free.
Tell our listeners about free. They might be interested in that.
Free is for the club. If you have a trainer, you have to pay for that. But everything else is free. I mean, it's part of your Medicare plan.
Really? That's
surprising. You did not know that. Yes.
I used to be a member up until COVID when I stopped going, and then I decided never to go back.
Well, it's great because it's completely covered. There's no fee. I don't know what the monthly fee would be, but you don't pay anything. It's part of your silver sneakers or whatever program they're available to anybody that's on Medicare.
Is that only an Advantage Medicare plan?
No.
Any Medicare plan.
Well, any Medicare plan that has, I used to have Blue Cross before I had Medicare Advantage, and it was covered on that too. So yes, as far as I know, it covers everybody.
Oh.
You could look into that.
I could, and I think several of our listeners would.
Yes, wonderful.
I kind of remember paying about $80 a month.
I did too when I first moved here. I didn't realize that it would be free. And then somebody I know that was going there said, hey, it's covered. And I went up to the desk, and sure enough, it was, and I haven't paid since.
Okay. Which one of the trainers are you using it?
His name is Robert Gonzalez, so he is fabulous. Mm-hmm. He's in great shape, and he works hard, and he is fabulous to work with.
Great. Here in the Villages, the clubs that you're active in are what?
Well, I'm in Single in the Villages. I'm in Single Baby Boomers South, Single Baby Boomers, Girlfriends of the Villages, Southern Girlfriends of the Villages, Fenny's Singles Club. There are probably more, but those are off the top of my head, the ones I'm in.
That's not bad. The first year I was here, I joined about 20 clubs.
Yes. Yep.
Which was a mistake.
It can be if you have too many activities in a month. It's hard to keep track. And then also sometimes you end up signing up for something and later something else comes along. So it can be too much.
Yeah. Before we get into what your experience has been as an improver, let me tell a little joke for my grandson, Evan. What kind of nut doesn't like money?
I don't know.
Cashew.
Cashew. That's great. Good one.
It's better than a Venmo. Of course, that's not a nut. Okay. So here in the Villages, you've been a member of the improv club since?
Before COVID.
Before COVID.
Before COVID. I came to some of the classes, but the first thing I remember that was a show was the Mercedes-Benz Club. And I think that, if I remember right, was about 6 months before COVID hit. Maybe yeah. 8 months.
Yeah, yeah. And that actually was the first show that I put on after I took over the Improvisational Theater Club.
Right.
We changed that club from a training-only club to a performance club. Mm-hmm. I've done a lot. We have a show coming up on November 7th.
Yes.
At the Azalea Rec Center, especially valuable for those people who live south of 44.
Which is getting to be a lot more people than it used to be.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. They had another 3,000 acres in Leesburg in the last week to the Villages.
Oh, my.
Oh, yeah. And so over the next 5 years, you know, I think the Villages will get closer to 200,000 people.
And closer to Orlando. My brother-in-law just moved here, and they moved into Lake Denham, which is right down by 470. So, mm-hmm. Yeah, it's definitely expanding.
Yeah. Yeah. On to improv.
Yes.
In the improv shows, what is your favorite part?
There are some games that I think are particularly fun, but the biggest overall thing I would say is the camaraderie working with others in the group. Mm-hmm. And now that you have, after a first or second show, you decided to put us all on the stage in a semicircle, mm-hmm. It's so much more fun because before that, we would be either behind the curtain or in the back room. And now we can sit there and laugh along with the audience, and it's really fun.
Yeah.
I like that. That's my biggest favorite thing. The next favorite thing would be some of the skits or acts that we've done, which would be, I like doing the one with John when he does the birdcage.
Yeah, it's called the birdcage, where you would
try to buy a birdcage.
Try to buy a birdcage for your pool.
Sometime soon, and he has me out 3 years, yes. And I like doing the visual interpreter of two expert or an expert being interviewed, and I am like the visual interpreter for the hearing impaired.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That is really fun. I like doing fixed lines, which is two players, and they only can say two lines, and they aren't given the lines until the skit is called. Mm-hmm. And then they can only say those while the other person tries to construct a story with these goofy lines, and it is always fun.
It's always a riot.
It is. And sound effects is fun, too. That's mm-hmm. where two people are doing a skit, and they have to have someone act out the sounds that they're going to be making or that they're describing, and that is always fun.
Yeah, yeah, that's always a fun skit when we either take it to a farm and the players from the audience participants have to do a sound of a cow or a pig or a horse.
And it's always fun because some of the time the other person, sound effects person, will answer for the wrong person or they make the wrong sound or they don't know what. Anyway, the worse they are, the better it gets.
Yeah, it's funnier it gets.
Yeah, it's funnier it gets.
You know, we work with a set of simple rules, usually three or four rules. First rule is always say the first thing that comes into your mind. Do you remember the second rule?
Yes, I do. Make your partner look good.
Make your scene partner look good. And
always say yes and. Or at
accept
least
all offers.
Accept all offers, yes. Mm-hmm.
And the fourth rule, in improv, there are no mistakes.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
It's only an opportunity.
It's an opportunity. It's a gift.
It's a gift, yes.
It is a gift.
Always accept the gifts.
Yes.
And that's one of the things that makes it so much fun.
Yes. So I think improv reminds me of playing as a child, and you get to make things up, and you have your friends, you just laugh. It's just really fun.
And a big part of it is getting to trust the other performers on stage.
Yes.
And we play games. Some people will say they're even kids' games.
Some of them are, and they're great.
That's right. About 2 weeks ago, we played a game where we made a big ball out of newspaper, and we had to keep it in the air. Only by pushing it up and looking at someone across the circle.
Wow. That's a great game, because then you also have to keep eye contact, which is really important mm-hmm. in improv, too, as you know, because you've taught that to me. You have to keep eye contact with the other players as much as you can so you can
Know when to talk and when not to.
When
not to. And sometimes silence is
good.
Worth a thousand laughs.
Yes, yes, that's for sure.
Mm-hmm. And at this point, Margaret, we're going to listen to a short Alzheimer's tip from Dr. Craig Curtis. Dr. Curtis, what is the biggest limitation for Alzheimer's research in America?
The biggest limitation for Alzheimer's research is our shortage of patients that get involved in clinical research trials. For example, a couple of years ago, a report came out that showed there were approximately 25,000 open positions for patients with Alzheimer's disease to get involved in research, yet only about 7,000 to 8,000 of those positions went filled for the year. So every year, we run a deficit in the United States in filling these clinical trials, which in turn slows our overall ability to complete the clinical trials.
With over 20 years of experience studying brain health, Dr. Curtis's goal is to educate the village's community on how to live a longer, healthier life. To learn more, visit his website, craigcurtismd.com, or call 352-500-5252 to attend a free seminar.
So, Margaret, let's talk about some of the new scenes that we're going to be putting on in the show on November 7th, because we've certainly done a lot of scenes. We'll have the scenes from a hat and questions where you have to wear a hat and only ask questions about the character represented by the hat or the character represented by your other player's hat, which are fun games.
It is. They're both fun.
And usually they're extremely funny.
Yes.
Because players make mistakes.
the better the game.
Yes, and the funnier the game. We have run some new scenes last week where one player was an IRS agent and the other player was coming in for his or her very first audit.
Oh boy.
And the auditor says, you know, we have two words here at the IRS that we love.
What are they?
Taxes and penalties.
Oh, all good words.
All good words. And it has a very funny stream. And most of the improv that we do is short form.
Yes.
2 to 4 minutes per scene. The show in November is going to have a couple of scripted comedy scenes where the actors will have memorized their lines. And we'll also have a couple of semi-scripted scenes where the actors know what's supposed to happen, but they can say anything they want. And those will probably be extremely funny too.
Those could be very funny too.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. One of them will be a knockoff of the Stanley Kubrick film, a 2001, A Space Odyssey. We abbreviate all that to GPS.
GPS. I like it.
It's a great scene. We've had it in front of the audience, and the last time we had it in front of an audience, people were falling out of their chairs laughing.
That's great.
Yeah. Now, the show would be done in 90 minutes, and there won't be an intermission, but we do have round tables, and we tell people to bring snacks and their favorite adult beverages.
That makes us all a lot funnier.
Oh, it really does help. It really does help. And we take input from the audience. Now, Margaret, why don't you share with the audience your line of work before you became a villager?
All right. Was a lawyer. Still am a lawyer, but not licensed in Florida. And I did divorces and custody. Mm-hmm. And all those conflictual types of work. And I have to say that if it wasn't for having a sense of humor, I don't think I would have survived. It really was a benefit to be able to laugh at things.
Mm-hmm. So. Before you got to Florida, you weren't involved with improv or acting at all?
Before?
Yes.
I did take a few acting classes in Michigan years ago, and I did do classes with Second City. Oh. They had a Second City in Detroit. It's not there any longer. And they were closed, I think, on Sunday or Monday, one of those days, and that's the night they offered class. Mm-hmm. So I went to those for about four separate semesters of it, and then we got to do a recital at the end of the fourth semester. I got to invite all our family and friends, which filled up the whole venue, and then they sold drinks, and then I got there, and I thought, why did I invite all my family and friends? Because now I'm a nervous wreck. But it really was fun. It was a really fun time.
Good. So,
and we had, as one of our teachers, Keegan-Michael Key, who's now out in California and making movies and comedy, and he's an amazing guy, and he was one of our teachers.
Yeah, so your line of work before
yes.
coming to the villages was divorce lawyer,
yes.
in a short word.
Yes.
So we made that the subject of a new skit that you haven't seen yet.
Oh, my.
Oh, yes, yes. We ask the audience members to fill out a card, only seven of them, with reasons, a reason, just a single reason why people get divorced, but they can't use the two most common, which are a bad sex life or money.
Right.
Okay. The cards are collected and given to two actors on stage.
Oh, I need to be in this skit.
And then a member of the audience tells the two actors what the skit, where the skit is and what the roles of the two players are. And they have to incorporate what comes to them on the cards.
Perfect.
Oh, we did that last Monday night. It was hilarious.
Yeah, there are some pretty, I don't want to say funny because that sounds mean, but some very funny.
Peculiar
things that happen in divorces that you have no idea could even possibly come up or that would be something somebody would be telling you. It's just shocking. I maybe I got over shocked, but still surprising right up to the end.
Yeah.
Just very odd things. So
it would elevate you to the area of psychiatrist or therapist.
Yes. Oh, yes. Yeah. Oh, yes. And then ask you if they had to pay for that advice, because after all, you're a lawyer and they were asking you questions about something that isn't law related. So why would they have to pay for that?
Oh, the clock is running.
Still your time, but you know.
Yeah, it's like being in a taxi cab stuck in a New York traffic
exactly.
jam.
Exactly. Exactly.
So. At least in a New York traffic jam, the clock on the taxi cab runs slower than if you're traveling a distance.
It still ticks, but yeah, I had people that thought that was unnecessary to pay for. So, yeah.
Yes. And perspective is one of the things that we take advantage of in improv.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
This show coming up in November is the first time that we've decided to put music in a featured role in the show. In the past, we've always had one song parody. This time, I think we're going to have two song parodies, in addition to a little bit of stand-up. But I guess it was back in July, Margaret, that I told you about something I got an email on about the Sarasota Improv Festival.
Oh, yes. And I'm so glad you told me about that.
You know, I didn't know what the heck it was. I said, Margaret, why don't you investigate it?
Sure.
And then you come back with a glowing report. And you said you were going.
Yep.
And there were three or four other people from our improv going. And so I said to myself, okay, I'm going to go. Okay. And I remember buying my tickets, sitting in my daughter's basement in Smithtown, New York, and making the plunge on the hotel, which was,
you know, expensive.
The tickets were like $79
for 3 days.
Okay. And, you know, if you wanted, you could have some improv classes. So
yes.
I looked at the shows and they went all the way to 11 o'clock at night.
I know. And they started at 4 or 5 in the afternoon.
Right. I said to myself, I'm not getting up early on a Saturday morning for an improv class. So I took two classes on Saturday afternoon. And one of the instructors was a very nice lady. And we go in for, I think it was a 5 or the 6 o'clock show. Larry Rotkin, our co-director, was sitting in the front row, and he had a seat up on the center aisle. He said, Mike, this seat's for you.
That's right.
And so I sat down there.
You had the major seat in the house.
Yeah, it was a good seat. You know, I liked it, right on the aisle, and even if it was the center aisle. But their scene started with the lady who had just taught one of the improv courses asking for an object to begin the scene with.
Yes.
And in their world, the scene is 45 minutes to an hour.
It was. That was amazing.
They did long form. Actually, we've asked them if we can do some short form next July. And she kept rejecting all the offers from people in the audience. So finally, I put my hand up and yelled, Moon Rock. And she points a finger at me and says, we got it, Moon Rock.
Yep.
And before long, I found myself up on stage with the cast.
Yes. Actually, you ended up being the lead person in the scene by the end. It was great. It was really very well put together and very funny.
And totally improv.
Total improv.
Yes.
That was a wonderful event. I'm going to go next year. I think they were great.
One of the big things that they taught me was music needs to be added. You know, I've seen, and I'm sure you've watched Whose Line Is It Anyway, with Laura Hall on the keyboard. And it was always good. And I didn't think we had anyone who could do it. And so I asked Wayne Richards, who was with us the first year.
Yes, I remember him.
And he's coming back. He came back to one session. He read Laura Hall's book on improv music. And he says to me, Mike, I don't read music, so don't give me the book. And I said, what do you mean you don't read music? You're an accomplished musician. You've written scores and musicals and movies. He says, yes, but I do everything by ear.
That's amazing. What a talent.
Yeah. So I give him the book, which, as it turned out, Bob Baker wrote. And there's no music in it. It's all words. I mean, maybe there was a half a page of music. So Wayne came to our meeting to get the feel of the group. This Monday, he's coming with his keyboard, and we're going to begin practicing with musical accompaniment.
That's great.
Okay. In the show, we'll definitely have at least one number with singing. Our actors are not singers. Our players are regular villagers. But when push comes to shove, there are several who will sing and make up a song on the spot, and Wayne will be accompanying.
Well, we have some good singers in the group. I think we do. That'll be really fun.
You think we have good
Not
singers?
Not me, but other people.
We have a couple. We have a couple.
We do.
John Case is a good singer.
He's great.
Kay Branson can sing.
Norma.
Norma can sing.
Doc, if Doc's back.
Doc will be in the show, yes.
Yep, he can sing.
So it should be very interesting to see what we've done. We practiced it a couple of times without Wayne. We put a scene in where there were three zookeepers at the zoo, and they controlled their animals by singing to them.
Oh, that's cute.
Oh, it was a riot.
Yeah.
Fall on the floor. So it's going to be very enjoyable. Now, we do have some other good news on the improv front that you've probably not heard. Beyond the November 7th show. There is a private show, I think, on November 6th, but we just booked a show, another private show in the Lake Miona Auditorium.
Oh,
for
nice.
A very large club here in the village. It's at least 160 people.
Wow.
And then on the 4th of February, the very next day, which is a Sunday, we have another public show that's going to be at Rohan.
Nice. In the big auditorium.
In the big auditorium.
Great. And that will be different than the November show because it will be new skits, new items. Yes.
Yes. Yes.
Fun.
It should be a lot of fun for everybody. You mentioned that one of your favorite scenes is when you do the pantomime.
Oh, yes.
Tell our listeners a little bit about how that works.
Well, what you have had us do is pick one person who is describing either a book or an object or something that they've done that they believe they're an expert in. And the other person is interviewing them. But the person that's invented something or is talking about what they did will say things that require someone to show what they're doing. For example, someone was talking about dancing, so I would have to dance. Or somebody was talking about maybe something to do with their leg, and I would have to kick my leg. So whatever they'd say, then I try to do exactly what they say to match what the people are talking about. And sometimes a questioner comes up with something, too. So it's quick, and it's fun, and it's exhausting, really. I run out of breath by the time it's over.
Right, right. The first time I think we put that on stage, Christine Sigel was the expert.
Yes.
And she said she had invented a way to train bees how to wash and wax cars.
Yes.
And that was an absolutely riotous scene.
She was very creative. Yes. She could come up with some wonderful ideas.
She was creative,
ideas.
And the person who was doing the pantomime came on stage dressed as a bee.
Oh, that's nice.
And it was a wonderful scene.
Yeah. But most of when I've done them, it's all been improv. It's not, I don't know what they're going to say. I don't know what they're going to expect me to.
Well, it's coming from the audience.
So yes, from the audience. So I have no idea what I'm going to be.
Right. And the expert has no idea
what
they're going to be an expert in. The questioner is just designed to ask straight-laced questions on the serious subject or whatever it is, you know, training pigs how to make beds in hotels, you know.
Yes, yes.
And how did you do that?
Yes. And it's really a fun scene. I love doing it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Anything else you'd like to tell our listeners before we run out of time?
I love being in this group. I think it's a very enjoyable activity to do here in the villages. It is makes you think, makes you laugh, makes you be creative, makes you work with other people, and enhances a lot of skills that you use in daily life.
Yeah, you'll make some new friends.
Right, absolutely.
And the group is open. We meet the first four Mondays of the month at Rohan from 6:30 to 8:20. And we discovered that the Paisano's restaurant is open until 10 p.m.
Thank God.
Yes, which is about a two-minute drive.
Right.
And we go over there afterwards for some camaraderie.
Right.
Some food and beverages, which has worked out exceptionally well.
Right, because that is not exactly the hot time to go to dinner in the village is 8:30.
No, the place is generally pretty empty.
Right.
But we have a lot of fun as a group, and audiences that see the performances have a lot of fun. It's not for everyone. It's only for someone who likes to laugh.
Yes. But we get a lot of repeat customers for the shows.
Yes,
so that's a big thing. They want to go to the next one. They're always asking what it's going to be and what time,
7th.
Where, so they can schedule around it. So, yes.
If you want to get show tickets, the easiest way to do it is to go to the club website, thevillagesimprov.com. That's thevillagesimprov.com. And on the first page, it'll say something about November 7th show, and there'll be a button that says click here, and that'll take you over to the ticketing page. I hope that there are still a lot of tickets sold, but there should be a few available, more than a few tickets available, when the show airs, even though it's pre-recorded. Anything else you want to add?
No, Margaret? Thanks for having me. It's been fun.
Thanks for being here.
Thank you.
And thanks for being an improver.
Oh, of course.
Remember, our next episode will be released next Friday at 9 a.m. Should you want to become a major supporter of the show or have questions, please contact us at mike@rothvoice.com. This is a shout-out for supporters Greg Pangian, Tweet Coleman, Dan Capellan, Ed Williams, Alvin Stenzel, and major supporter Dr. Craig Curtis at K2 in the Villages. We will be hearing more from Dr. Curtis with short Alzheimer's tips each week. If you know someone who should be on the show, contact us at mike@rothvoice.com. We thank everyone for listening to the show. The content of the show is copyrighted by Roth Voice 2023, all rights reserved.